Good morning. God is good. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When you think of hope, what do you think of? Maybe take a moment and ponder. Maybe think of Star Wars, A New Hope. Maybe trivial. Maybe think of things a little more serious. Maybe you think of Obama's hope. Maybe you think of hope in very trivial ways again. Maybe you think of what you might eat today. I hope that I might have Taco Bell. I actually don't hope that. But I heard they're putting a Taco Bell in across the street here, and I don't know how that's going to end out, but we'll see. I hope that's not the case. But see, when we think of hope, we typically think of well wishes or desires. I contend this morning that hope is much more than that. There's a Spanish story of a father and a son who had become estranged, and the son ran away. The father set off to find him. He searched for months to no avail. Finally, in a desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper. And he hoped his son might read it. And the ad read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." And on Saturday, 800 Paco showed up, looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. That's a true story. You could Google that. When I think of hope, strangely, I think of zombies. Bear with me. I'll come back to this in a bit. But when I think of hope, I think of The Walking Dead. It's strange, I know. Hope is this tangible thing in the distance that we desire. And I would contend this morning that hope is a reality. Hope is a thing. It's something that we can know. It's not just something mystical. It's not just something that we wish for. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see this kind of very thing laid out when it comes to the human flesh and what will transpire come the end of this world. See, I don't know about you, but once this life is all said and done, I hope that heaven is much more than just the flesh and blood. Don't hear me wrong, I have had joy. It is a joy being married, it is a joy having children. But there are things in this world that make living feel hopeless. Do you agree with that? There are times like that we are living in right now where things feel hopeless. But there is a hope that exists far beyond our wildest dreams. And it is real. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and starting at verse number 50, Paul would say this to the church in Corinth. He said, "Brothers, I tell you, this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Listen, I am telling you a mystery." Much in like Jesus spoke in his ministry, he would tell his disciples, if you want to enter into this kingdom, you must be born again. And Jesus' own disciples would say, "Well, Jesus, what is it that you mean? Do you expect us to enter into our mother's womb again and to be birthed again?" See, this is not a physical thing that Jesus spoke of. And it is not of what Paul speaks of either. There is this hope that exists outside of the flesh and blood that we call life. In fact, if you were to rewind and look to a few verses prior to what Paul would have to say here, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 19, he would say, "If we've placed our hope in Christ Jesus for this world only, we are to be pitied more than anyone." See, Paul understands that hope does exist in this world. But our hope as Christians exists in that place that we call heaven. It exists where God exists. I would contend that that is where only hope exists, is with God. And for us to imagine a world where we hoped only in Christ for this lifetime, we would miss out on the blessings and the promises that exist in Christ Jesus for the life to come. Continue on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 51, he says, "Listen, I am telling you this mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will be changed. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible." Here's this imagery again. I said, when I think of hope, I think of zombies. I think of the walking dead. And it's no misconstrued idea that as human beings, we have a fascination with hope, even in death. I think that's why we gravitate to things like zombies in an apocalyptic world where people can find hope among the dead. And this is our frail understanding of hope. But what Paul says is hope is that not is the dead raised to life, but it is raised incorruptible. When we think of a dead thing coming back to life, we think of the gnarly hand ripping out of the tomb. You think of the gruesome corpse, the rotting flesh. But when God speaks of this hope, of this resurrection, it's renewal, it's rebirth. It is a new thing. It is incorruptible. And it is the only way that you and I enter into heaven. Going on to verse number 54. We see this statement that Paul makes. "Now when this corruptible is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written takes place, death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" See, now the sting of death is sin. "And the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that is our hope. Our hope is that we are victorious in this life. I want you to recount maybe as a child or as a youth or a teen or maybe as a young adult, how many times you've lost. How many times you could consider yourself a loser, whether it be socially, whether you lost friends or family, or you lost money, or you lost a job, or it seems like all hope is lost, there is a hope that makes you victorious. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. See, in the past, we've talked about faith and the reality of what faith is in our life. We've talked about the truth of Jesus and that he really did live in time and in space. When we wrap our minds around that, we call that thing our belief system, our faith. This belief system shapes our reality. The Hebrew writer says it's by faith that we understand that God spoke the world into existence. And I've always been fascinated and encouraged about this great hall of faith that we see in Hebrews chapter 11, these men and women and their desire to be pleasing to God. But if you look back at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, you see something quite fascinating. The verse says, "Faith is the reality of things hoped for. It's the proof of things unseen." Something that stood out to me in this passage is that hope seems to be steamrolled by this idea of faith throughout the remainder of the chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. And I would, however, argue that this is actually not the case. Although the word hope is only briefly mentioned the first few verses, it actually is a cornerstone of faith. See, if faith is the evidence of things that we hope for or things that we believe, then hope is the thing believed. Now let me ask you, what is it that you believe? The Koine Greek word for hope is this word elpis. It's this idea of expectation. It's this trust. It's this confidence. I heard one instructor say, it's knowing. It's a K-N-O-W. You can know what it is that God offers to you. And most people don't understand hope. Most Christians, they don't understand hope. And they live out their faith like this daily. They wake up and they say, God, I hope that you supply my needs today, God. I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills, God. I hope that the persecution that I'm facing will just come to an end, God. I hope for these things. And it's wishful thinking. It's just like, God, if you will, if you can, would you do these things? But as Christians, we must know that when we pray to God, He will provide. That's a knowing. It's with certainty we know that God is taking care of us and providing for us. In fact, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, He would talk about this very same thing. He'd say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. He'd talk about the things of the flesh, like food and clothing and shelter. God will provide. And we know that He will. Or at least we must know that He will. And most people understand hope as this wishful thinking, as in I hope something will happen. This is not what the Bible means by hope. The biblical definition is this hope is a confident expectation. Hope is a firm assurance regarding things that are unclear and unknown. Hope is a fundamental component of the life of a Christian. It doesn't make you wishy-washy. It makes you firm in your faith. The New Testament idea of hope is the recognition that in Christ is found the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament. Christians' hope is rooted in faith and salvation in Christ. Hope of Christians is brought into being through the presence of this promised Holy Spirit through baptism. It is the future of hope, is the resurrection of the dead, as we spoke of before. The redemption of the body and of all of creation. We call this eternal glory, eternal life, inheritance with the saints and with God forever and ever. It's the return of Christ. It's a transformation into the likeness of Christ. Hope is the salvation of God. Or simply put, hope is Christ Jesus Himself. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. Hope is Jesus. The certainty of this blessed future guarantees that through the indwelling of the Spirit, Christ is in us. Hope is produced by endurance through suffering. An inspiration behind endurance. Those who hope in Christ will see Christ exalted in their life and in death. A trustworthy promise from God gives us hope. And we may boast in this hope and exhibit great boldness in our faith. The book of Revelation paints this image that when we stand before God come judgment day. Imagine this. The created thing standing before God. See, the idea, the imagery, the words that's used is that our backs are propped up and that we face God. I don't know about you, but when I think of God, my knees tremble. And my back begins to give out. But this hope tells us that we will stand face to face with God, our Creator. Along with faith and love, hope is an enduring virtue of Christians. And love springs forth hope, and hope produces joy and peace in believers. Through my study through this idea of hope and through my walk as a Christian, I have come to believe in hope in ways that I didn't as a younger person. And I have kind of combined 10 truths, if you will, that I'd like to take you with as we talk about hope. Hope, the real hope, moves us forward. See, this worldly idea of hope is a veil. It's something that the world has blinded themselves to. They place things out of their mind and they just hope that things will get better, and then they just continue to live their lives however they can live them. But as Christians, we have a duty. We have a job to inspire real hope for this world and for the life to come after. And it's because of this real hope that we are able to move forward in the face of tragedy and dismay, and in the face of death and turmoil and loss. It is because of what we know is coming after this life that we can move forward. Hope is a realistic expectation of a joyful longing. I don't know about you, but I long for the days where I hurt no more. And it is with great joy that I long for heaven, in that place where there will be no weeping, where there will be no tears, where there will be no guilt and no shame from the past sin, from the past sorrow, from the past hopelessness of this life. Hope deletes regret and underlines expectation. It diminishes drag and increases momentum. See, I think that's one of the biggest tools that the devil uses to slow us and to hinder us, is to make us think that we're hopeless. But we are not. Hope energizes the present. Hope is not just something for the future. Though Paul says, "For the man who places his hope in this world only is to be pitied more than anyone," Paul does not say that we should not place our hope for this world. We absolutely should. I don't know about you, but I hope that Christ continues to forgive me of my sins. I hope that Christ continues to grow his church. I hope that Christ uses me in that. I hope that Christ continues to be glorified now and in the presence of God, right now. It is worth living today because the eternal tomorrow is so much brighter. What's doomsday for most is a coronation day for us. What most dread, we desire. Hope lightens our darkness. Hope does not deny nor remove the reality of dark and a painful providence. We can't just take away the darkness of this world. We can't just take away the suffering. We can't just take away the problems. They exist. There are mean, nasty people in this world. We cannot remove that. But what we can do is hope in Christ Jesus. It does shine a bright light, not only into our lives, but anyone who comes into contact with this hope. Hope increases your faith. See, if you thought that you believed in Jesus, I would encourage you to hope in tomorrow, and not just tomorrow, but for eternal life, and it will increase your faith. It will increase your belief in the reality of things to come. Faith fuels hope, but hope also fuels faith. As Hebrews 11 makes very clear, hope and faith are very closely tied together, the one enlivening the other. Without faith, we cannot soar in hope, but without hope, faith will limp home. You hear me? As Christians, you should have a belief in the reality of Jesus and a hope in what He says and in His promises. Hope is infectious. Just as we can drag down others with our negativity and our moping, so can we inspire and motivate through our inspiring hope. It only encourages the other sagging Christians, but it also impacts depressed unbelievers who cannot but ask a reason for the hope that's inside of you. That's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. Hope is healing. When I counsel people in depression or who are going through turmoil, one of the first things I try to do is give them this understanding of hope. By definition, depression is a sense of hopelessness. Things cannot and will not get better. That's why I want to give them an idea of hope, a reality of hope. I want to give them this understanding that things will get better. See, things might get worse in this world, but things will get much, much better in the life to come. Hope is practical. Hope is not just something we bat around as Christians. Hope does not mean we just sit and wait for this perfect scenario or this utopian society or the perfect church to come up. Not at all. Hope motivates us to action. And when we hope for better days for the church, we serve the church because we understand that God has something much bigger in store for us. When we hope for the conversion of our children, we are motivated to share the gospel with them. When we hope for God's blessings on His word, we listen to Him. Hope produces action. Hope also purifies. Whatever persecution we experience in this world, the day is coming when we will not just be called sons of God anymore. We will be like the Son of God. This is what inspires and motivates the apostles to persevere to the end and to persevere in holiness. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He, being Jesus, is pure. That's 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. And hope stabilizes our lives in the storm. See, there are 66 drawings of anchors in the catacombs, in the caves and tunnels that the persecuted Christians hid in during the Roman persecution. Hope was their anchor during those dark and stormy days. Like the anchor, hope grabs what is out of sight. The cable of faith casts out the anchor of hope and lays hold the steadfast rock of God's promises. And lastly, hope defends. Paul also describes hope as this defensive helmet. in Ephesians chapter 6 that must not be taken off and laid aside until the battle is over. The helmet is also, it also points to this area of weakness, our minds, our thoughts. And that's where Satan usually works to present reason of doubt and despair. And that's why we need our minds daily renewed by the power of hope. See, it's not an abstract thing. And if you're tracking with where I'm going with this, it is a very tangible thing. See, we've continued living in this world because yesterday existed. And if yesterday happened, then tomorrow can happen as well. And just like the sun rose yesterday and the day before, we have this belief system, this system built into our life that tells us that tomorrow the sun will rise again. But it's more than just a belief. It's a fact. It's a knowing, because tomorrow the sun may not rise. And if that's the case, then that promise, that idea that Paul stated, that death is being swallowed up into victory, is coming true. And if tomorrow does not come, we are ushered into a greater hope than this life. And I hope this is an encouraging message to you, not just for today, but for tomorrow, but that in this moment that you would remember what it is that God has offered to you. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't know what it is that God is offering to you. You don't realize the hope that is found in Christ Jesus. You don't realize this forgiveness of sin allows you to move forward in your life. Not only does it allow you to move forward in your life, but it brings you back into relationship with your Creator, God. If you're here this morning and you found yourself in hopelessness, I beg you to answer Christ's call. If there's anything you need, any prayers, if you'd like to submit to yourself into Christ, into this hope, we have capable men. Maybe you'd like to study. Maybe you'd like to know more. We ask that today be the day that you reach out for hope. Let's think of these things as we stand and sing.